This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. It's been more than a year since a magnitude 7.2 earthquake struck Haiti. More than 2,200 people died, and some 12,500 people were injured. Rescue efforts at the time were hindered by Tropical Depression Grace. Haiti is still picking up the pieces. Rochelle Seguin of Doctors Without Borders spoke with NPR earlier this month about the current state of affairs.
What we've seen is progress, but it remains slow, and there's still needs. Facilities and other infrastructure were completely destroyed in that earthquake. It takes time to rebuild.
Illinois has deep ties to Haiti. The city of Chicago was founded by Haitian native Jean-Baptiste Pont de Sable in the 1780s. And according to the U.S. Census, nearly 10,000 Haitian Americans call Illinois home. And the current Illinois Attorney General, Kwame Rowo, was born in Chicago to Haitian immigrant parents. Many aid groups are focusing on helping Haiti. One of those groups is called Hope for Haitians. It's based in Rockford, and it's nearing the conclusion of work on its 17th village in the past couple of decades. Executive Director Chris Weikert joined us last year in the aftermath of the earthquake, and he is with us again now. Chris, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Brian, it's great to be back. I'm glad to be able to talk to the folks of Illinois about what we're accomplishing.
And we're glad to hear from you. And also with us today is Dr. Cléant Jean Jr., who works on the ground in Haiti as the agency's in-country program lead. He's here in the United States this week. Dr. Jean, thank you for joining us for this conversation as well.
Thank you, Ryan.
And listeners, you can join us as well at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455, or tweet us at 21st Show. So, Chris, just briefly remind us of the work that Hope for Haitians does and the Northern Illinois connection.
Well, glad to do that, Brian. Hope for Haitians is now 21 years old, and it began when a couple from Rockford, Illinois, traveled to Haiti on a mission trip and came back after seeing that poverty and said, we need to do something. And they invited friends and others to participate. And from that, Hope for Haitians was born. And over the last two decades, it has been building villages, providing clean water, so safe housing, clean water, good sanitation. It's worked on sustainable food and income sources and education. And it's worked also in the area of basic medical needs, primarily in the north and northeast sections of Haiti.
And Dr. Jean, can you talk about what that work looks like on the ground from your perspective?
Yes, Ryan, it have a lot of positive effects on the ground because we have a country where the government is not present. So Hope for Haitians is trying not only to bring hope, but to make the villages moving forward through some project like building houses, providing medical care, and then education, and that's have a lot of positive effects on people's lives and in those villages.
And Dr. Jean, I understand you grew up as an orphan in Haiti. To the extent you're comfortable talking about it, can you talk about that experience?
Yes, I was an orphan at the age of 6. Then I had to move living with my grandmother in a house of 12 with only 2 bedrooms, and when it rains, it leaks. So it was a very difficult time, and I have to like share uniforms and school supplies and my shoes with my brother, because my grandmother could only get one uniform, one backpack, one shoes. So that was a very difficult time, but I took school seriously until I met some U.S. missionaries. When I graduated in med school, and when I graduated in high school, they paid for my medical school. Then I went to Miami to get my master degree in public health at the University of Miami.
And how does that experience from your childhood, how does that shape the work you do now?
Well, you know, it's like I'm giving back a piece of what I've been receiving, because living in those conditions are very hard. And in those conditions, there's no way you can succeed even you have parents. So without parents, it's even more difficult if someone doesn't come to help you. So that's why I feel very blessed and privileged to be able to help those people in need, because I have been helped one time by other people.
Chris, I want to ask you big picture. What has happened? We last spoke about a year ago. How has the recovery from the earthquake seem to be going?
Well, you know, as your initial quote segment talked about, it's a slow process to do rebuilding. And in fact, one of the things that's interesting is we were involved initially right away in a kind of a unique way. There are some aid agencies that just really are all about helping in disasters. But one of the challenges they face is they're big and they move things in large quantities and they move them in semis. And the thing we discovered right away is that hard hit communities that are very off the beaten path, and we work a lot with rural communities, are very, you know, inaccessible. And Dr. Jean did some very creative work on the ground that allowed us to put aid and food in the hands of individuals within 7 days of the first dollar arriving. I think he could speak a little bit more as to how nimble we were able to be in addressing that initial crisis.
Yeah, because when those disasters happen, it takes time for government or the NGO to reach those places. And what we did is that we contact the local leaders in those area, pastors, priests, ministers, and community leaders. And then we get in touch with them and make sure in the first days that we are able to provide them food, hygienic kits, and lots of basic things that people might need on the ground. So that make a lot of positive effects and help the people on time, because this is what they were expecting until big help come from other big organizations. So we were able to sort this out.
Yeah, part of it was that in some cases, there's no road for the truck to go. And so a lot of our supplies went by local individuals really? With four-wheel drive pickups getting them there.
Yeah, because it is the easiest way for those things to reach there because of the road condition.
Well, Dr. Jean, what is the, so you described individuals working on this effort. What is the mood of people in Haiti right now? How are they doing?
Well, depends on where these people live, because in villages, things are always worse.
Yeah.
They always worse because they receive less. They don't have any government assistance unless some NGOs like Hope Foundation bring hope or bring help to them. So you know when you go to those villages and bring something, people feel very grateful, and people still are very grateful for people who have been helping them. And at this time they are a little bit hopeless because we don't have any president right now, and then we have a lot of things that should be going. I don't know, Chris, if you want to add something.
Yeah, one of the things that often happens is people confuse Port-au-Prince, which is the capital of Haiti, with the country of Haiti, because so much of the news that comes out is just what happens there. So as Dr. Jean's talking about the challenges in the rural areas, what we hear in the news is often what the challenges are in that urban area around Port-au-Prince, where there is problem with gangs and there are problems with potentially kidnappings or other problems of protests. Those aren't necessarily the issues that are faced in the rural north where we're working. So really there's not two Haitis, but there's a real important point is to recognize that Haiti is more than just the news that comes from Port-au-Prince.
Yeah, and Port-au-Prince is just a city. It doesn't necessarily reflect what's going on in other cities. And well, it doesn't really affect negatively the work we do in the villages.
Sure. And I mean, people can understand that, the difference between Chicago and a small town in central Illinois, for example. Chris, your mission statement talks about providing hope and dignity to the poorest of the poor in Haiti. And according to the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies, around of the a quarter of Haiti's population lives in what's called extreme poverty. How do you decide where to build homes, where to provide aid? Who gets help? Who doesn't?
That's an excellent question. One of the reasons we work where we are, and the reason we've decided to do that aid work in the north, is because there's a really intense concentration of aid and NGOs surrounding the urban centers, in some cases because it's a little bit more accessible. So we're working up north, and we've decided to do that because it's an area where it is not only underserved by the government systems, but it's also underserved in sometimes by the NGO community. And so we're working in these communities that don't have someone coming to do an intervention. selecting people, that's almost an impossible task. And it's really where we rely on our partners on the ground, because I have no business sitting here in Northern Illinois and deciding which person in a community in Haiti should receive the aid. The individuals on the ground that we cultivate some relationships with in our leadership committees, some of them are the spiritual leaders of communities, priests and ministers. We consult with them. We ask them to assist us in assessing who is in the greatest need. Primarily, it will focus on individuals, particularly women with children who are raising them on their own. It'll focus on widows. It'll focus on orphans. It'll focus on those in other disadvantaged situations. But sometimes it does include whole families. But we let that decision be made at the local level, where those people are known to the community and the leadership.
If you're just joining us, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about Haiti, and there's an aid group based in Rockford, Illinois, called Hope for Haitians. Chris Weikert is the executive director there, and we're also speaking with the country's with the organization's in-country program lead, who is Dr. Cleantis Jean Jr., who works on the ground with Hope for Haitians. And Dr. Jean, I want to ask you, because in that NPR interview we heard a little bit of, there was also discussion of an uptick in violence. I've seen Doctors Without Borders say that somebody was taken directly out of their care and executed outside a medical facility. Is that something that you and your people have had to contend with doing this work in Haiti, and have you seen that yourself?
No. As we said, things that happen in Port-au-Prince, which is the capital, does not reflect anything in the northern and northeastern Haiti. So all of those things are happening in the capital, and we don't even have one case of this happening in the northern and northeastern part of Haiti. And I never seen anything like this, because I never go to Port-au-Prince, because everybody's trying to avoid this place. And as I said, in our region, we don't have those kind of problems. So but it's really unfortunate that those things happen to people who comes to help and then they've been victim of those kind of situation.
Sure. Well, Chris, I guess we're almost out of time. What is next for the work of your organization?
Well, Brian, we've begun, actually last Sunday, our fundraising for our 18th village. It's in a new community, Kulsamidi, and it is a significant project. It'll be a several-year project for us. Our intent is to build homes for 75 families. We will be constructing a community center for the entire area. We'll also be doing at least two wells and then two water treatment facilities on top, so that we have purified water that's safe to drink, free from E. coli and other contaminants. That kind of improves basic health. We're also going to be putting in some solar street lights to begin to increase the capacity of individuals to move about and interact and do things beyond the setting of the sun. And that's just the first phase. Then we'll get into working with the local leadership community to assess the needs for sustainable income and food sources. So really, we're at the ground level of this. Dr. Jean is actually on that planning team. And when he spoke earlier about his living with his grandmother and childhood, that was actually in Kulsamidi.
Yeah, this is the village that I grew up with my grandmother, the one that we'll be building in the next few
Your hometown, a homecoming.
Yeah, wow. It's my hometown downside. But this is one of the reasons I'm really involved with the leadership committee, with the people in the area, to make sure that this project make the effects that we are expecting. So,
all right. Well, Dr. Cleantis Jean Jr. is the in-country program lead for Hope for Haitians. Chris Weikert is the executive director. The organization is based in Rockford. Briefly, if people want to find you online and learn more, where can they do that?
They can find us at hopeforhaitians.org.
Very simple. And we will have a link to that on the 21stshow.org as well. Chris Weikert, Dr. Jean, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Brian. It's a pleasure.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
And that is all the time we have for our program today. The 21st Show is produced by Aiden Choate, Christine Hatfield, and Jose Zepeda. Our intern is Zainab Qureshi. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Join our texting group. You can do that by sending the word TALK to 217-803-0730. We ask questions. It informs our coverage. We often share your responses on air, as we did today in our student loan conversation. Again, you can join by sending the word TALK, T-A-L-K, to 217-803-0730. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.